to the book of Genesis, chapter 41. In the moments we have remaining, I want to take up where we left off last week on this series on Joseph. We all know the story of Joseph, his life, because it's an amazing, amazing story. I'm sorry, my mouth just got dry. It shows God's power. It shows God's providence all through the life of Joseph. And we know that Joseph was the favored son of Jacob, his father, Isaac's son, who was Abraham's son. So Joseph is in that line. But his life was not easy. And it took a turn. You know the story, how his brothers sold him. How he went down into Egypt. Potiphar bought him. And then Potiphar's wife falsely charged him. And he went to prison as probably a 17, 18-year-old kid. And he stayed in prison for, it varies from 7 to 10, 12 years, something like that. So we take up where he's been let out of prison because of a dream that Pharaoh had. So that's where we are. Pharaoh saw in Joseph the hand of God. And he says, I want to put you over all of Egypt next to me. And he gave Joseph a new name, it says in verse 45 of chapter 41 of Genesis. And it was Zaphnath Pahaneah. Now, you can go around and pronounce that, and people won't know how anything you're talking about. It means the abundant life. Jerome translated it as Savior of the world. Another one was translated as being the seer of the unknown. But along with a new name, Joseph was given a wife, Asenath, the daughter of Potiphera. He was a priest to a false god. So she grew up in a household where there was false gods, and her dad was a priest to them. But Pharaoh gave her to Joseph to be his wife. Joseph was 30 years old when all of this took place. He entered the service of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and Joseph went out from Pharaoh and traveled throughout all of Egypt. And verse 47 of Genesis 41 says, during the 7 years of abundance, the land produced plentiful. Joseph collected all the food produced in those 7 years of abundance in Egypt, stored it in the cities. In each city, he put food grown in the fields that surrounded that city. Joseph stored up huge quantities of grain like the sand of the sea. And it was so much that they even stopped keeping records because it was beyond measure. Before the years of famine came, two sons were born to Joseph and Asenath. Asenath means belonging to Neith, the goddess of handicraft or along those lines. The daughter of Potiphera, priest of On. Verse 51, Joseph named the firstborn Manasseh and said, "It's because God has made me forget all the troubles of my father's household." The second son was named Ephraim. "It's because God made me fruitful in the land of my suffering." The 7 years of abundance in Egypt came to an end, and the 7 years of famine began, just as Joseph had said. There was famine in all the other lands also, but in the whole land of Egypt there was food. When all of Egypt began to feel the famine, the people cried to Pharaoh for food, and Pharaoh told all the Egyptians, "Go to Joseph and do whatever he tells you to do." When the famine had spread over the whole country, Joseph opened up all the storehouses and sold grain to the Egyptians, for the famine was severe throughout Egypt. And all the world came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph because the famine was severe everywhere. What an awesome testimony that Joseph has, from the prison to the palace in one day. What an awesome thing that God can do. I don't know what you might be facing. I don't know how dire your circumstance may be. Let me just encourage you that God's got you right in the palm of his hand. He's got everything under control. You don't have to worry. All you have to do is be faithful. And when you walk with him, God will take care of you. And he said he would make all things work for our good when we love the Lord and we're called according to his purposes. So Joseph was laying in prison and he was desperate. And in the palace, God was given a dream to Pharaoh that so puzzled Pharaoh and all the seers of Egypt. Nobody could interpret what it was. And Pharaoh was desperate to know. God had already worked out where others had had a dream. And the butler that served Pharaoh his cup, his dream was interpreted by Joseph. And at that moment, he remembered Joseph. Joseph had asked him, "When you get out of prison, remember me." He had forgot all about Joseph until this moment. And he tells Pharaoh, and Pharaoh sends for him and brings him up. And in that one day, he's put in charge of everything that has to do with the foods of Egypt. And he's given a wife. Now, wives in the Old Testament, they often mean things. And I covered this last week. There was three wives that are very important. The first was Eve. She is a picture of the creation of the church. And the relationship of husband and wife. Even in the New Testament, Paul says that's like a marriage. So here we have this thing working that's like a marriage. We know that our bridegroom is Christ himself. And it says that he's coming back after his bride, which is the church. So Eve is a picture of that church in creation, being born. Rebecca is a picture of the calling of the church. Because the question had to be posed to her. She was living with Laban, who was her father, Sarah's brother. And Abraham had sent Eleazar down into his country to get a bride to bring back for his son Isaac. And the question was posed, will you go with this man and become the bride of his son? Her answer is what our answer must be. I will go. Because the Holy Spirit, he asks each one of us on a regular basis, will you go with this man? The Holy Spirit. Yes, I will go. And I will serve. And then the third wife is Asenath. She's a picture of the coronation of the church. She went from being an unknown in the household of a priest to a foreign god to living in the palace in one day, just like Joseph did. That brings us up to where we left off last week. Joseph's Gentile bride. She represents us, the church, the Christians, as we walk in our lives and serve God. She was called out of a sinful past. So that's point one on your outline if you've got one. Her sinful past. The woman that Joseph received as his bride was named Asenath, which means belonging to Neith. Neith was the mother earth of the delta, the place of birth. She was worshipped as the mother of the Egyptian gods. There was Isis and Horus and Osiris. And she was the mother of those gods of Egypt. The goddess was also known as a source for great wisdom. The Egyptians believed that all the other gods went to Neith for counsel when a dispute would arise. Asenath was raised to worship the false and pagan gods. All of her life, her father had taught her about those gods, about her worship of them. So Asenath, the daughter of Potiphera, the priest of On, his name means given by the sun god. On is also known as Heliopolis, one of the most important religious cities and centers in all of Egypt. So out of all that dire muck and garbage comes this wife for our hero. For the man who loves God with all of his heart. Out of the great temple of Ra that was in this center of false worship. Ra, that was depicted as a human body with a falcon head, wearing a golden crown. In all the hieroglyphics of Egypt, you can see the god Ra. Out of that temple comes this beautiful lady. Asenath was totally oblivious to the god of Abraham, Jacob, and Joseph, and Isaac. She wasn't even minutely aware of God Almighty. And even if she had been, she probably would have cared nothing for him. After all, she had over 100 gods that she could worship. But let me tell you something. That might have been our state, and we might have been much like her. We had no interest in worshiping God. We had no interest in serving God. We didn't even really know God, like Asenath. But God knew her, just like he knew you, just like he knew me. Long before I knew him, he knew me. Long before Asenath knew him, God knew her. And even in her lost condition, God was working behind the scenes to bring her to himself. When she married Joseph, her pagan past was blotted out. I have no doubt that Joseph told her all about his God. He loved God too much. He served God too purely not to have told her all about God. Her pagan past was blotted out. This God of the universe, this God of all the earth that Joseph had been talking about, forgave. Just like he forgave you and he forgave me. Joseph introduced Asenath to Jehovah. I have no proof of that, but I think this woman probably got saved and she started to walk with God and worship him just like her husband. Asenath is that perfect picture of lost humanity. Like her, every human being is born innocent. Until we reach the age of accountability, we are totally innocent before God. But then we begin that slow slide into the depths of spiritual darkness. When we understand choice, right and wrong, we must be led to the Lord. Our hearts must be opened to him. As we covered in the dedication service this morning. And until that happens, we really don't know God. Until we open our hearts and by choice receive him as Lord and Savior. Until that happens, we really have little knowledge of God and we deserve nothing from him but judgment. Our condition is clearly revealed in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 and verse 12. As for you, Paul says, you were dead in your transgressions and sin in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and in the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and its thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. Remember, it says in verse 12, that at that time you were separated from Christ, excluded from citizenship. You were foreigners to the covenant of the promise. You were without hope and without God in this world. That's the state that we were all in until we received Christ. That was the state that Asenath was in until she opened and received Christ also. Just remember what you were in those days. Some of you got saved very early. Some of you were much older I was 27. I was leading a life that was anything but pleasing to God. But God knew me. And I had a mama that was a prayer warrior. And when she started ringing the prayer bells of heaven, all of heaven said, oop, Alma's at it again. She would not leave me alone. She would not leave Satan alone. She would not leave God alone. She pulled by all of her weight. Many nights I've heard her walking the floor saying, Satan, you ain't gonna have my son. He belongs to God. I gave him to God. And she, that little Baptist woman could pray. She could peel the paint off the wall, I'm telling you. I'd take the pillow and put it over my head because I didn't want to hear it. But it would penetrate through that pillow and I'd still hear it. And God would say, take that. And in those moments, Satan would have to take his hands off me. And God would deal with my heart until I totally surrendered. Remember what you were back in those days. It does us good to look back sometimes. It'll deal a death blow to our self-righteousness and our spiritual snobbery. Some of us feel like we've made it so far. You hadn't even started yet. To where God wants to take you. He'll take you all the way to the palace if you'll walk with him. If you'll say yes to him. So we have to be reminded ever so often of where we came from, what we were fighting, what we were doing when we were lost in the world. If you're here this morning and you're saved, it's because God delivered you from your sins by his amazing grace. He didn't owe us anything. He gave us himself. And he gave us forgiveness because we were much like Mephibosheth. If you hadn't read about Mephibosheth, you need to. He was a grandson of Saul's. And when David took over as king, one day he said, is there anybody left in the family of Saul? And one of his servants said, there's a cripple boy that lives way over in Lodabar. He's the only one left. And David said, go get him and bring him here. Mephibosheth had never tried to get in touch with David. He had never asked for anything. He never expected anything. But suddenly, the servant was there to fetch him to come to the king. And he brought him to the king. And when Mephibosheth, who was lame, he couldn't walk. But when he made it into the presence of David, the king of Israel, he said, what have I done? He was expecting the worst. And David said, you'll eat at my table and you can live in my house. And Mephibosheth said, I've done nothing to deserve this. And David said, I want to do it because of Jonathan. There's a heavenly Jonathan. His name is Jesus. He gave everything he had for me and you. And we deserve nothing from God. But God, by his grace, because of his son, forgave me and you our sins when we were back in our Lodibar, that low place. The Holy Spirit fetched us and brought us before the King. And he says, will you? And evidently we said, yes, I will. Like Asenath, when we came to Jesus, we were saved by grace. Our sinful past was blotted out. And today, as God looks at me and you, he sees us pure, justified, and glorified because of Jesus. Jesus paid the price that you and I could not pay. And by grace and by mercy, he said, come unto me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And one day, we'll live with him. He said, I go and prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. So don't let your hearts be troubled. If you're sitting here this morning and you've never personally asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins, if you've never personally asked him to come into your heart and be your Lord and Savior, what better day than today, right now, that you would come by faith. And that he, by grace, would forgive you of all of your sins. And by his mercy, write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And when he looks at you, he looks at me and you through the blood of Christ, through the sacrifice of Christ. And he sees you the way he sees me, pure and holy, with our sins washed away, and we're whole before him. We're a part of his bride, and there's a place where he is that we might be there also. And we'll go from the prison to the palace. Like Asenath, we'll go from obscurity to a palace and prominence through the life of our Lord Jesus. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Father, there's no way that we could deserve all that you have in store for us. Like Asenath, we'll be presented before the Father. Jesus has given himself to us, and we will be a part of his bride. And on that day when the trumpet sounds and you call your church home, when you call your bride to yourself, we will rise to meet you in the air. Thank you for what you've given us. If you're here this morning and you've never given yourself to him, or maybe you did years ago and you've drifted away, you'd say, I need Jesus. I need him in my life. I need his help. Pastor, would you pray for me? I want to come back home. Or maybe you're saying, I want to receive Christ for the first time. Those watching online, those sitting here, if that's on your heart right now, and you know you're living where you don't belong, you're not living the life that God would be pleased with, and you want things to change, today's your day. If you fit in any of those categories or any of those groups, your heart has grown cold and distant, just say, Jesus, I give myself to you. Maybe for the first time, maybe afresh in you. Come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Forgive me of where I failed you. I want to belong to you. I want to walk with you. Just like Asenath walked with Joseph. And everywhere he went, she was there with him. Friend, if you'll ask Jesus to come into your heart and forgive you of sin, right now, that's as simple as it needs to be. You say, well, Pastor, I'd really like to, but I don't understand too much of that. Then say, show yourself to me. And Jesus, I don't understand it all. So would you show me? Would you tell me? Would you come into my heart? It's that simple. If you mean it with all of your being, he'll do exactly what you've asked him to do.